Next, I would like to introduce Lauren Bishop from the Department of Behavior Science and Health Education for Emory University, Rollins School of Public Health. And Lauren's going to be talking on a presentation, Keep It Strong Atlanta, Reducing Teen Dating Violence Through Social Media. And this project was done for the Jane Fonda Center.
Good morning, everyone. It's so great to see such a full room for this really exciting topic. I'm thrilled to be presenting my research that my team and I conducted entitled Keep It Strong, ATL, Reducing Teen Dating Violence Through Social Media. I have nothing to disclose. So just a brief background about Start Strong. The National Start Strong program was developed to prevent teen dating violence and promoting healthy relationships. And the Start Strong program was initially implemented nationally across 11 different sites, including Los Angeles, Wichita, Kansas, there was one in Rhode Island, the Bronx, and then down in Atlanta. So the national program had four programmatic objectives, but the one that is most resonant with this particular topic was to create and implement communication strategies designed to promote the development of healthy adolescent relationships and then reduce teen dating violence. Then Start Strong Atlanta, the Keep It Strong ATL social media campaign, took that one step further, and they developed that particular core objective in maintaining six social media sites targeting 11 to 14-year-old adolescents. So then my team and I developed this evaluation. It was a formative evaluation to examine the effectiveness of the social media campaign during its pilot testing period. The campaign itself was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and it ran from 2008 to 2012. So we collected our data actually during the last 4 months of the grant so that we were able to gather kind of the reflections, as it were, from the pilot testing. So the campaign itself, the social media campaign's goals were reducing teen dating violence and improving healthy adolescent relationships in conjunction with the overall Start Strong objectives, but they also included promoting positive social and cultural norms among the youth of Atlanta. So what we did was we looked at the campaign's management of their six social media websites, including Facebook, both a personal and a corporate account, a Twitter account, a Tumblr, a Pinterest, a YouTube, did I catch them all? And a Flickr. we also looked at kind of the relevance of their content and messaging across the six social media platforms, evaluating the sources from which the messages came, and then any resulting behavioral changes, which the last one we didn't really examine because there was so much in the other three. So just a brief background on why the social media campaign was important. 10% of adolescent dating relationships actually result in physical violence. And African American adolescents are at significantly greater risk, which is particularly important for the Atlanta campaign. And then finally, in Georgia itself, one in six teenagers was a victim of dating violence from a 2009 Georgia report. So it was incredibly important that over this campaign time, this was an area that was targeted. So now, how does social media and teens... Well, 93% of adolescents aged 12 through 17 access the internet. I doubt anyone is surprised by that. Furthermore, 73 to 80% of these, this 93% participates in at least one social networking site. These social networking sites are now the new forefront of the internet, termed Web 2.0. And it's really important to note that while 87% of young adolescents, which for the purposes of our study was 11 to 14-year-olds, that's what we coin as young adolescents, claim that they have a Facebook profile, the other social media sites that we evaluated say that only 10% of their usership actually comes from this demographic. And it's important to note that for many of the social media sites, including Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, you have to be at least 13 to have a profile. So it's really important to note when we get to our findings. And communicating health information via social media has been proven through several studies to be relatively effective, with especially African-American adolescents, female adolescents, and low-income. They're the most likely to access health information via the internet. And throughout the presentation, you'll see little snippets from the social media campaign platforms themselves, this one from the Twitter campaign, letting anyone know that if they are in a domestic violence situation, they can contact. So just an example of how health information was communicated throughout the social media campaign. Briefly about our recruitment, we recruited staff members and youth leaders for key informant and in-depth interviews from not only the campaign itself, but other organizations including Planned Parenthood, the Emory Office of Health Promotion's Respect Program, and other community initiatives that had similar goals as this. And like I said, we communicated or collected our data at the end of the grant period. So we did a mixed methods assessment with both qualitative and quantitative, and then we also did social media analytics. This is my personal favorite. Get your head and your heart together. Your head's pulling you one way and your heart's saying something different. Maybe you shouldn't be in that relationship. That's just a brief thing about our analytics strategy that you all can read and then quickly move on. So our results are the most important thing that we determined from this. Social media is an effective vehicle for communicating information during our communicating health information with adolescents. But I was pleased to hear Allison mention earlier that it's not always effective at engaging the target audience that you wanted to. And in our case, our results were very similar. As you'll see in the next few slides, we were very effective in engaging women ages 18 through 24 and in their late 30s and early 40s. But the we did not actually effectively engage anyone within the 11 to 14 year old area, or very few. So something to remember is the posting times we found were very important. We hope that they're doing their homework after school, and then so potentially on a Sunday night when they're procrastinating from their homework due Monday would be a good time to post. Also in hours where they're not at school, because even though they may be under their desks checking their Twitter surreptitiously, we really hope that they're not. Use of interactive mechanisms. This says very simply, people like to watch videos more than they like to read, and sometimes that's very true. So finding things that engage youth in different ways rather than just reading. So this is just something I was mentioning earlier. If you look to the far left of the top graph, you see the 13 to 17 age range, and not a single person within that age range was looking at our social media. So I think that's very telling, and it indicates that there is a need to engage either those that are being engaged, which are females over the age of 18, or finding new ways to engage the target audience. This is very similar. And again, both Facebook and Twitter were found to be the most popular of the six social media platforms that the Keep It Strong ATL campaign used. Also, one thing to note is that the Keep It Strong ATL campaign was very exclusively focused on positive messaging. So this is a good example. You are all wonderful. Please be yourselves. These were the type of messages that were posted on a regular basis. However, we found that a mix of messages that also not only prevent the dating violence but support survivors of dating violence and those engaged in unhealthy relationships to make sure that they're getting that mix of tone and content. And then, as we know, quickness is key in social media, so using quick bursts to communicate information, because as one of our key informants mentioned, once you give them that quick burst, they're going to catch their attention, hopefully, and then you can educate them afterward, but you're not going to solve dating violence strictly using social media. So as we determined, the pilot phase was successful in engaging students over the ages of 18, but they did not actually reach the target audience, who are the most vulnerable for adolescent dating violence. So we determined that using Facebook was really important. It was one of the most important platforms, as well as using those interactive messages such as YouTube and other generated content, and then updating the social media when the traffic was the highest. So another thing to note is that, once again, previous studies have linked social media use to poor sleep outcomes for adolescents. So it's important to time those messages where they're not on the internet at 1 a.m. and, you know, that's when they know that your messages are being timed. They need to be timed appropriately to those hours when they can and should be online. And then one of our students really mentioned that the use of Instagram was really important. They said everyone has an Instagram. We don't know why they're not on Instagram. So again, that use of kind of rapid photo messaging is really important in this cohort. And then finally, one of our major conclusions was the use of engagement with communities and with parents. Given that we were finding that the social media campaign was reaching people over the age of 18 who are hopefully already invested in the issue, it's really important to engage parents and other adults who then may target our target population. So these are just two examples of studies, one through the CDC and one through another campaign where they were actually using parents and targeting those guardians of adolescents to communicate their messaging in hopes that they would then disseminate that down to the 11 to 14-year-olds who we were targeting. And this is just another thing, using the power of schools. Other places where adolescents are, using those after-school groups and the schools themselves to kind of communicate the messaging in order to reach that audience. So given our limitations, I think it's important just to mention, we were only evaluating one of the Start Strong sites. There are 11 other cities, and we are focusing exclusively on Atlanta. So there's definitely also a strong potential for participatory bias, given that everyone we asked to participate did, but then we could only reach a certain target audience. So there's a possibility that many other people that were involved in the development and the promotion of this campaign were not reached. So our study is limited to those who participated. And then also, given that many social media platforms do not allow teenagers under the age of 13 to participate in their sites legally, we're not really sure our findings are 100% conclusive about reaching the target audience, given that 11 to 12-year-olds, we wouldn't have been able to gather data from them and know that it was not coming from someone who was 17. So our program was very successful in launching the website and the Facebook site. We felt that those were the strongest platforms for them to use based on the six social media sites that they had, but that they could the need for a focused selection, so uploading an Instagram account for their next trial, and improved and resonant messaging to include not only preventive messaging, but also those that are supportive of those people already in adolescent dating relationships that may result in violence. And then the importance of working with the overall community and the parents that can reach that target audience that we struggled to do so. In my final few minutes, I would like to just acknowledge my co-investigator, Danielle Lambert, who happens to be in the room with us, as well as my mentor, Dr. Paula Frew, and then my other investigators, including the Jane Fonda Center at Emory University and their director of medicine, Melissa Kotke, and those that were part of our key informant interviews, the Grady Teen Services Clinic, Planned Parenthood, the Southeast Chapter, and the Emory University Office of Health Promotion. So if you're brave enough to say goodbye, life will reward you with a new hello. I am now saying goodbye and hope you say hello. Thank you.